Okay, Parshas B'Shalach, Rishon. Before you get to the word B'Shalach, you have Vayhi, Vayhi B'Shalach. And that taps in possibly to a machlokas about who's doing the B'Shalachim. So, the Lev Avram, Avram Weinfeld, has a comment on the word Vayhi, that Vayhi is often a Lashon Sara, has negative connotations. And he thought that it reflects the idea that it's Vayhi B'Shalach Paro, that in the end, Paro had to throw at least some of them out, that they didn't want to go on their own, that they had decided that they wanted to stay. And that's tragic. We know, in fact, as we'll discuss, I mean, not even all of them left. But that's a negative statement. The Mechilta, you have a perspective which seems different. The Mechilta has Shalach, is a Lashon Levaya, that they were escorted out, and that because they were escorted out, so the Mitzrim benefit, they have a mitzvah, Lo Sasoy of Mitzri, that we shouldn't hate the Mitzrim, that they should get some kind of Akar Satov for their Hachnas Asorchem. Which sounds a little funny. We think that, okay, here we were enslaved and we were plotting to leave. You don't feel like that's something that deserves Hakaras HaTov. And yet, this is a part of the broader picture of what Hakaras HaTov is, that it's not necessarily tied into actual kindness or deserving qualities on the side of the benefactor. And here we received hospitality from the Mitzrim, so we are supposed to recognize that. And it happens to be, as the Rambam discusses in Mishneh Torah, and as Avram models in his acts of Hachnas Asorchem, as the Torah describes in the context of the angels, that there is a aspect of Levaya, of escorting your guests out. So that's apparently implied here as well. And the Torah Tamima has a comment that by the end, at this point, so then they're acting all nice. So that's why the Torah describes here a concern that maybe at the last minute the Jews will say, you know, they're not so bad. Maybe we should go back. So it's what the rest of the pasuk describes here, that Vayhi B'Shalach Paro Esa'am V'lo Nachem Elokim Derech Eretz Plishtim, that God did not take them through the path of the land of the Plishtim, Ki Karovu, because that was close, Ki Amar Elokim, because God said, Pen Yinochem Ha'am, maybe the people will change their minds. Berosim Mechama, and they see the first glimmer of war, V'shavu Mitzrayma, and they will turn back, and they'll go to Mitzrayim. So there are many approaches to how to read this pasuk, and many of them are al pi derech hadrush. Many of them reflect various approaches to how to read these concepts in general, as you've probably seen, and this is something that we get to encounter specifically this year. The opening psukim of Parshios are particularly susceptible to such variable readings, so this is no exception. The opening pasuk of B'Shalach is subject to many interpretations in the Sefer Chasidus and elsewhere. So among them, the Chofetz Chaim has an observation that you see that there's a Musar here, that here, who is it who is traveling? So we have a tradition, the Pasuk says Chamushim, so different interpretations of what Chamushim means. Chamushim is the next Pasuk, but according to one interpretation, Chamushim means only one-fifth, that four-fifths of the Jewish people didn't want to leave. So it was only one-fifth, the top one-fifth. And if that's the case, so here you have the most committed 20%, and even them were afraid things get a little bit hairy, so maybe they're going to turn around. So the Chofetz Chaim says, you see how careful you have to be, you see how much you have to try to control your environment, that here, even the top 20%, they're not safe, that they're vulnerable to being discouraged by whatever is going on. So you can only imagine those who are weaker. It's a very powerful message. The Noam Elimelech, Elimelech of Luzensk, So he is inclined to read this Alpi Derech HaChasidus and Derech HaMusar. So he understands this being read more broadly, that this is a reference to somebody who's looking to do tshuva. Bishalach Paro Esam. So Paro's Oref is the stiffness of the neck. Somebody who wants to do tshuva, who wants to throw off all of his averos. That's the mochama that he is trying to undertake. And the concern is that if he sees the Derech Eretz of all of his Yetzirah, all of the apparent civility of the ways of the world that may tempt him back in, so God helps keep him away from that, Kikarovu, because they're too tempting, because they may help him go off the course, they may veer him away from the course. That he's afraid that there's a concern that maybe when a person sees how much of a struggle there is, that maybe he'll decide to go back to his old ways. So instead, the Shavu Mitzrayim, I think this he also interpreted, I'll be Derech HaDrosh, not that that's going back to the old ways, but that Shavu Mitzrayim, you should go back to the desert, or that's maybe his next pasuk, that he has to go into introspection. He has to, instead of going back to his old ways, he has to think more deeply about how to change his ways, how to continue along the path of tshuva, and that's how he understood the message here. Tosfos also contributing to this more homiletic interpretation of Balei HaTosfos said, Ki Karovu, that means because the Jews are close to God. That's what it means. And here, the Balei Musar commented also, Rav Simcha Zussel Breun has a discussion about this in his Sefer on Derech, that read in the context of the whole pasuk, that sometimes we think, you know, why does the path have to be so convoluted? Why does life have to be so challenging? Why can't it just be simple? Why can't it just be direct? And really the answer is Ki Karovu, because God is with us and we're able to take a more winding path. And it's evocative of what we know about, we find, for example, if we look at the Nachash or the other extreme, the Man in the desert, and how both of those have something perhaps to be commented upon. That the Nachash, one of the klala of the Nachash, is that he eats dirt. And the reason why that's considered to be a klala, Chazal explained, is that his food is readily available. It's everywhere. So he doesn't need any relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And as we transition from the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael, the Midbar we had the food provided, Eretz Yisrael, we're living a more complex kind of existence where we have to look to Shemayim and pray for our daily sustenance. So when you're close to God, you have a relationship that you can have the more difficult path. And it seems like it's harder, but ultimately it's the sign of a relationship. It's the reflection of the fact that God is actually with you. And that's itself ultimately the source of Nechama. The Rambam understood also, Rambam Mar Nevuchim comments that the Jews had to be taken through the long path here, through the Midbar, because the miracles they encounter in the Midbar is a part of what builds their Emunah. So therefore, that is ultimately a necessary miracle, because that is a part of what contributes to what will bring them to where they need to be. So God doesn't make miracles that are unnecessary. This is all a part of how things have to play out. And that's also a part of the process. It's also interesting that the whole idea of being kept away from this picture of the Mohammed, so they shouldn't be tempted to go back. There is a value of distraction. You know, there is a value sometimes of controlling your environment and understanding of what needs to be managed in terms of what will get you to where you need to be. And if we can borrow a little bit from the next Aliyah, so There is a interesting line there that's the subject of much commentary. Sometimes it's been observed that there are many Jews who are involved in comedy and who are known for their sense of humor, involved professionally or amateur comedy. And sometimes sociologists comment that the reason there are so many Jews with a good sense of humor is because of persecution. So you develop a good sense of humor if you're always trying to cope with persecution. And they don't credit the one who first said that, who was Reb Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, who says that explicitly when he's commenting on the pasuk in the next aliyah we'll borrow from, that the Jews say at this moment of tension, they say, "Hamibli in kvarim b'Mitzrayim," that you took us out here because there aren't enough graves in Mitzrayim. So as Rav Hirsch explains, says that's not really a serious question. Says that's what we call a sarcastic comment. So what was going on? Said that the tensions were high. It was a moment of anxiety. And the Jews were cracking jokes in order to cope. And he then goes on to say that that's what Jews have done ever since. That they have developed a sense of humor in order to cope with moments of tension. And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainis that Rav Broka Choza was in the marketplace and Eliyahu HaNavi told him that there was a group of people over there who were Bnei Alma D'Asi, who had a special chelek in Olam Haba, and he pointed to these two men who later told him that they were comedians, that they were able to cheer up people. And apparently that was why they were zoche to this special chelek in Olam Haba. So there's a value in being able sometimes to distract people from what may otherwise get them off track, being able to crack a joke, being able to cover up the scary stuff. And that's what we find here, that they're told not to look behind the curtain, they're told not to go down the path that may pull them away. And that's what ultimately keeps them on track, even though it's the long path that gets them there. Some of the commentaries indeed point to the language of pen, yinachim ha'am. So pen, normally we translate that as maybe, or lest in English. Lest has that negative connotation. But either way, maybe, lest is a language of suffix. So the commentaries struggle with that because if it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu talking, so a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, so why is he mesupak? How could he have a language of suffix here? So Ibn Ezra writes that this is just Lashon Bnei Adam. He's using human language. Rabbi Abachia says it doesn't mean maybe, it means in order that they shouldn't. So it's not a language of suffix. Rabbi Chaim Paltiel suggests that no, it means literally, because the topic we discussed a little bit last week, that Akol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Meira Shamayim, that this is a matter of doing the right thing or the wrong thing. If the Jews are supposed to leave Mitzrayim and head towards their destiny, so it would be the wrong thing for them to turn back, as that's the perspective we've been taking. So therefore, it's up to them. Are they going to stay the course or not? So the language pen here maybe perhaps makes sense. Others point to the idea that it's not necessarily saying only that they're going to go back. Maybe that the emphasis is on pen yinachem, that they're going to want to go back, that they'll change their mind, and maybe they'll be prevented from going back, but it's a question of what they'll want to do. So we understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu's way is not to interfere with people's emotions. We have this idea when the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that it's permissible to be Mishanei Pnei HaShalom, that you can change because of keeping the peace. So one of the examples the Gemara gives is that when Shmuel is given the task to anoint David HaMelech, so the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, that he's hesitant to do this because he thinks Shaul is still the king. Shaul is going to hear him, hear that he's going to do this, and he's going to kill him. He's going to get very upset. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him advice that he should be Mishana a little bit, that he should fudge things, that he should carry an animal and it'll look like he's going to bring a korban, and that will be his alibi. So some of the commentaries ask that that's not b'nei Hashalom. He says he's afraid of getting killed. So it's pikuach nefesh. That's a bigger heter. So the Ajva Rebbe, the Ber Moshe, suggests that, no, as far as getting killed, he's not going to get killed because God will protect him from getting killed. But God doesn't interfere with people's emotions, so there's still going to be a lack of shalom, there's still going to be tension. So therefore, he gave him an etzah how to deal with that. So maybe that's what this pasuk is talking about also, pen yinachem ha'am, that they'll want to go back, and that's what's going to cause problems. It's interesting, in this next pasuk, it says, v'yaseh v'lokim esaham derech ha'midbar, yamsuf, v'chamushim olu v'nei Yisrael meirat Mitzrayim. So chamushim, we already commented on chamushim, Chazal tell us either means that they are armed, or maybe that it was only a fifth of them. But what does the opening word in the pasuk mean? V'yaseh elokim esaham. So God led the people around. But there are other connotations here also. So if we're in a ready Yetzias Mitzrayim frame of mind, in a Pesach frame of mind, so what comes up, you think about V'yaseh. Medrash points out, what does it sound like? Think about the Seder. Heseba, that God made them lean. So here the Netziv comments in the context of how he understands Chamushim. This Chamushim means confident and relaxed, that they came out in a state of leaning, of relaxed. And the Medrash says that Mikan, that we do Heseba on Pesach night. So it's interesting, there's a lot to say about Heseba. It's a whole discussion. Haseba probably is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, but some would suggest maybe it's some mitzvah d'raisa. It's a whole discussion about how to relate to the din of Haseba. Is it a prat in the various mitzvahs of the night, or is it its own idea? But we normally understand it to be that Haseba is a way of showing their cheres and acting like a king in how we go about things, but it could also be that there is this independent idea of Zecher L'Nes that is attached to Haseba, and that's what's connected to this pasuk, that maybe there is a Haseba that was happening through the Yetzias Mitzrayim that this pasuk is conveying. Now the Lutzker Rav, the Znaim LaTorah, points out that, you know, you could raise the question, why do we even have the Seder on the first night of Pesach? That what are we celebrating at that point? That wasn't really the Geula yet. The Jews were not free until Kriyas Yamsuf. So why should we be celebrating the Geula then? So he points out that this language of Vayosev, if we understand it this way, is that really at that point they actually had the option of going straight to Eretz Yisrael, that really at that point they actually were free, and that's what we're commemorating. That's why the Seder makes sense, even at that point. Okay, so the next pasuk tells us a lot to say about the next pasuk. Vayikach Moshe es asmos Yosef imo, ki ashbeish bias bei Yisrael emora, pakod yifgod elkim eschem, v'alisem es asmosoi mizeh itchem. So, literally translated, I remember I had a rabbi in high school who told me a joke once. He said that didn't have so many Sfarim and Mitzrayim. So there's one sefer that the Jews took with when they left Mitzrayim. What was the answer? The answer was the sefer in Kedushin called Atzmas Yosef. So you see from the pasuk that Moshe took the Atzmas Yosef out of Mitzrayim. Okay, so the Kach Moshe, so Moshe took with a sefer in Kedushin, maybe he had that too. They didn't have yet HebrewBooks.org. You could have just got it online. But so Moshe took with Atzmas Yosef. He took with the bones of Yosef because he had sworn the Jewish people to say that this was this is what the message was from Yosef. Take my, God is going to take you out, and take my bones with you, Itchem. So there's a lot to comment on this pasuk. First of all, there's a fascinating comment on the Medrash. It's actually Gemara, Masechet Sota, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara, there's also a Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, the Gemara, that the Gemara applies to here a pasuk in Mishlei. pasuk says, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. Now, Chacham Lev, just to give you a little bit of a heads up, that's going to be a theme in the later half of Sefer Shmos. You're going to find many references to Chachmei HaLev, Chacham Lev, Chachmas HaLev. Look out for that as you read the rest of Sefer Shmos. That's a major theme. But here, there's a pasuk in Mishle that Chazal applied to this pasuk. That Vayikach Moshe took the Atzmas Yosef. Chazal identify him as a Chacham Lev, ki Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. And it says, look at here, all the rest of the Jews, they were involved in Bizas Mitzrayim. They were involved in taking the loot of Mitzrayim. And Moshe, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos, he was the one who knew how to be wise and to focus on mitzvos. So what's a little bit unfair about that, would think? That what the Jews were doing was also a mitzvah, right? Didn't God tell them to do that? Right? And other things? Yeah, things like that. They were also involved in mitzvahs. So the Rashiv can be out of the Rav Goldwicht and the whole maracha about this, where he explained that the pasuk doesn't say ki chacham lev yikayim mitzvahs. It's not saying that Moshe was doing a mitzvah and the rest of them were not. What it's focusing on here is ki chacham lev yikach mitzvahs, that one who has wisdom of the heart realizes that he should make a spiritual kinyan, and that the kinyan comes through the harder activities. So yes, it's true that what they were doing is a mitzvah, and eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah. And some mitzvahs are harder than others. You know, there are some mitzvahs which are pretty easy to do, and there are some mitzvahs that take more effort and that take more commitment. So to be involved with the Chevur Kadisha is a mitzvah that's going to have a greater impact on your soul than eating on Erev Yom Kippur. It's not, they're not equal as far as the mitzvahs are concerned, as far as what kind of impact it has on your personality. So Moshe was a wise man. He knew that this is the kind of mitzvah that is going to have a greater contribution to who he is as a person than the mitzvah of taking all of this extra reward, of taking all of this extra profit. And that's what he advances in this sicha, that this is a major indication of Moshe's spiritual wisdom. I saw more recently in Sefer Eish Tamid that he points out that there were Jews who were doing more difficult mitzvos that weren't as profit-focused, that there were Jews who were cutting down trees that were going to be used for the Mishkan. So what about them? Where do they fit in? So he notes that here there's still a madrega, that there were that it's easier to relate to the Mishkan as a mitzvah than it is to a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro, than the idea of somebody who's going to be involved in helping others. So the Mishkan is such a religious thing that it's easier to get volunteers for that than it is to get for something that is ben adam l'chaveiro. So here again, to be able to both do the harder mitzvah and to be able to focus on ben adam l'chaveiro is again a symbol of his wisdom, a symbol of his lekach tov, a symbol of his chachmas alev. I remember when I was in Mar Shakolo, we were veterans already. We had a separate room that had six guys in it, and one morning our alarm clock malfunctioned, and we all overslept. So we needed to make a minyan. So we had six guys already. So we needed four guys who were ready davening to join us so we could have a minyan. So it wasn't so hard to get four guys to join us for a minyan. But we had another problem. It was a Wednesday. So Wednesday was French toast day. So we're going to miss the French toast for breakfast while we're making our late minyan. So there was another holy Jew who decided, okay, he'll make sure that the French toast gets saved for us. So you're thinking that, you know, it's one thing to get the guys who will help you make the minyan. You know, that's the obvious, you know, religious thing. But Rabbi Shaul Salanter said that other people's gashmias is my ruchnias. So the person is able to realize that that's also a mitzvah. That's not so simple. So there's a chacham lev who's able to recognize what are the less obvious mitzvahs and what are you going to work on. That's a madrega. The Lutzker Rav also points out, as Naim Latorah observes, that having Yosef as a kind of a human flag here, having him as a symbol, is very important also, because this is a crucial message for the Jewish people, having Yosef as part of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because what does Yosef represent? He says Yosef represents a few things. He says, first of all, that Yosef is the hero of restraint. You know, Yosef was the one who conquered his Yetzirah, and therefore that was a crucial message to be able to display to the Jews. Also, that Yosef was a good reminder why not to go back to Mitzrayim, because he represents their Kfiyas HaTov, that he was the one who saved them, and yet they were able to still enslave the Jews and to forget about everything good that Yosef had done for them. Shelo Yada is Yosef, so that's a reminder why it's not so good there. But also Yosef's eventual ascendancy to the royalty, that they should see themselves as B'nai Malachim, they should see themselves as kings, see themselves as people who were able to rise above slavery. All of that was important imagery, and he thought that that was a part of the message here, that that's integrated into the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he says that's also what you find in the Pasuk, that there's a change in language, that the Pasuk begins that Vayikach es asmos Yosef imo, and that what Yosef has said was, take me itchem. So is there a difference between imo and itchem? So sometimes there are those who point out that im and es can both mean with, but im means where people are going for one purpose, and es means I'll catch a ride with you, we're going for different purposes to the same place. So Yosef was originally saying, okay, you'll go to Eretz Yisrael, take me with you, let me hitch a ride. But what Moshe was doing was integrating this into the message, so it was essentially all a part of the same thing. The Gemara Maseches Nazir, and after Mehayim Ebeis, the Gemara has an observation from here that even apparently Tamei Meis can come into the Machne Levia. So apparently Yosef was considered to be Tamei. So the Torah Tamimah has a comment here that this should be a raya for a suffix of the Mishnah Melech. The Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Evel points out that, or he has a suffix over there in Hilchos Evel in Perek Gimel of Halacha Aleph. There's one of his collector items in Mishnah Melech talk about mummies. So a question of whether a mummy is Metame. So we know that Yosef was mummified, so apparently the assumption is he's still Metame. So the Torah Tamimah says, well, this is a raya for the suffix of the Mishnah Melech. Should bring this into the discussion. I think Yitzchak Zilberstein in his Haggadah has a discussion about this in one of the places, in some very surprising place. In any event, Lechorah could also be a raya for this discussion. Some have whether tzaddikim are metame. So Lechorah is also a raya for that one. Okay. The Gemara also says in Masechta Sota and Daf Tesamid Beis that because of this act of kvura that Moshe was helping with, so Moshe was zocha to be buried by God himself. But the Gemara in Sota and after Gimel Beis says that the pasuk in Sefer Yoshua credits Bnei Yisrael with the actual kvura because they finished it. And the Torah Tamimah has a comment about that, that when it comes to Shiduchim, so we find that we credit the one who actually finishes the job, even though it's not necessarily the fault of the one who starts it, because here it wasn't Moshe's fault that he couldn't finish it. But nonetheless, we name the mitzvah after the one who actually finishes it. This idea of Hashbeya Hishbiya, that is a shvua that has to also be put onto the children. So this is also, the Torah Tamimah has an akut about this also. The Mechilta says here, you see that there has to be a shvua for the children too. So in the Tshuvos HaRamah, there's a discussion whether children have to fulfill the Shavuos of the parents. So the Torah Tmimah says, apparently, see, there's a raya that not, because apparently there's a need for a separate Shavuot. So that's part of our tradition. We talk about the Shavuot Har Sinai. We have a tradition that all of the Neshamas were already there. So we're all a part of that original Shavuot. Okay, so in the interest of time, let's skip ahead a little bit. So later on, the Aliyah wrote to the Perek Yudalid, by Daber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, V'yashuvu v'yachanu l'fnei piach yiros, v'yin migdol v'yin hayam, l'fnei ba'al tzifon d'chos afnu al hayam, v'yomer paru l'fnei Yisrael, nevuchem heim ba'aretz, sagar leim ha'midbar. So you should speak to the people and tell them they should turn around and they should camp in front of piach yiros, in between Migdal and the sea, opposite Baal Tzifon. That's where they should camp, and Paro will think that they're lost, that they're confused, and that they don't know how to get around. V'chizakti yislev Paro, and I will once again harden Paro's heart. We spoke about that a little bit last week. V'radaf acharehem v'kabdu b'paro v'chol chelo v'yadu Mitzrayim k'ani Hashem v'yasuchem. And once again, that will trip them up, and the Mitzrayim will understand that I am God, and that's what's going to happen. That's what happens. So, first of all, the idea of Daver al Bnei Yisrael. So here, this is now kind of relevant to this whole Yitzias Mitzrayim Kriyas Yamsuf stage, and Sfas Emes comments that we know there is a difference between the stage Yitzias Mitzrayim is the first half of Pesach, and Kriyas Yamsuf is the last half of Pesach. It's a separate yontif, in a sense. And we have a idea that Kriyas Yamsuf has a level above Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that we say that, again, from a Daf Yomi perspective, if you learned the first parak of Brachos a few weeks ago, so the Gemara suggests in the end of the first parak that ultimately, as much as we focus on Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, that ultimately Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to recede. That in the future Geula, Yetzias Mitzrayim is not going to be so much of a memory. It's going to be overcome by what's going to happen in the future. But Kriyas Yamsuf, we're still going to talk about. How do we know that? We know that from this week's Parsha. Because, what do we say every morning? As Yashir Moshe, we talk about the future, and the Gemara says that Mikan leTchias HaMeisim, and we see that even in Tchias HaMeisim, there will still be singing about this. There'll still be references to Kriyas Yamsuf. So one of the aspects that we highlight about Kriyas Yamsuf over Yetzias Mitzrayim is that Yetzias Mitzrayim, God took us out, but Kriyas Yamsuf, that required initiative from the Jewish people. That required us to actually go into the sea first, and that required what's known as Hisoris Militata, that it required a initiative that came from below and not just from above. So here this Daber B'nai Yisrael, this Fasemba's highlights that as indicating that. And so this is apparently a trick on Paro, that Paro's supposed to think that we're lost, and he's going to end up getting tripped up by that. So the Ibn Ezra comments that the Mitzrim are being treated by Harama, are being treated with trickery, just like that's how they treated the Jews. They tricked them into slavery. And the Midah and the Samdarach, the Zimchusel Broid emphasizes here the Midah Kenege Midah component. And it's important to appreciate that sometimes you can hurt somebody, you can offend somebody, and you do that in a sneaky way, that the sneakiness is its own offense. That it's not just the way that you got to the offense, but it's on its own offense. So that's what we find, for example, the halacha, we distinguish between gezel, which is overt theft, and gneva, which is stealing something in a sneaky way. And we know that the Torah imposes a penalty for Geneva that's not there for Gazal, imposes kefal. And when it comes to gneva, so the Gemara says that there is a prohibition of gonev amanas lamekat, that even if somebody steals something, does an act of gneva, even if he plans on giving it back. And some understand that the prohibition of gneva amanas lamekat does not necessarily extend to gezel amanas lamekat, that we're talking specifically about somebody who's stealing in a sneaky way. And that apparently the issue is that the sneakiness is its own offense. So the stealing is its offense, and stealing in a sneaky way is an additional component to the offense. And even if you could remove the monetary component, even if you're going to pay it back, the sneakiness is an offense. The Gemara says that Ben Bagbag, I think he only shows up in Pirkei Avos, he shows up here also, that Ben Bagbag said that if you have somebody who stole your property, and the only way you can get it back is from just by taking it from him, so you're allowed to just take it from him, but you shouldn't break into his house and sneak in through the back door and take it. You should go into the front door and take it back. And that's the same idea, that even when there's no monetary component, but the sneaking around is itself something that we want to avoid. The Rambam writes that when it comes to Gonev Amanas Lameka, that just to teach yourself how to sneak around is itself something that's highly negative, is something that yields its own problems. So here also, so not only were we enslaved, but we were enslaved through trickery. So that gets its own midah keneged midah, that gets its own consequence, and that also reflects itself here. Okay, so here also, chizakti a slave paro. Like I said, we spoke last week about the philosophical consequences about that, but here it's not necessarily the same philosophical issues, because we're not as much concerned about the moral components and the schar va'onesh. We're really past that at this stage. Not so much about that. It's more about the aspects of how this plays into this particular military conflict at this stage. But it does reflect in a representative way the whole self-deception of Paro, and the way somebody is able to say, okay, well, until now, maybe everything was coincidence. Okay, maybe it's just the wind playing tricks. Maybe everything is just nature. And you see how Paro is able to just read everything the way he wants to. And that itself is a very powerful Mr. Haskell about what a person can tell himself and what he can fool himself about. And that's itself something that we have to be able to appreciate. This idea of Kol Chelo, of his entire army, so what was exactly emptied out from Mitzrayim? It's interesting here because the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos has a discussion about that phrase, about what exactly happened to the Mitzri population here now, because it has halachic ramifications, because there's a prohibition to marry a Mitzri. And that prohibition is actually very limited, it seems. It's only the original, actual Mitzrim. So the Gemara has a discussion, just to be aware of. The Gemara has a discussion who the Mitzrim are, exactly. And this actually comes up in the literature about Ethiopian Jewry, because the Rambam identifies a Mitzrim as Kushim. So figuring out exactly who is what, this was a major discussion as far as some of that literature. And it goes back to this whole process of who left Mitzrayim in the pursuit of the Jews. It's a major discussion that all relates to that. We'll just maybe just make one more comment here. So it's the last pasuk. So indeed, the Aliyah concludes, Vayechazik Hashem eslev paro, melech Mitzrayim, vayirdof acharei b'nei Yisrael. So indeed, Paro's heart is hardened, and he finds himself able to chase after us. And vayirdof acharei b'nei Yisrael yotzim b'yad Ramah. So this phrase of yotzim b'yad Ramah, so we're very familiar with this for many reasons. It's a song. It's a sefer. B'yad Ramah is a Rishon, Meir Halevi, and Sanhedrin, and Baba Basra. Yotzim b'yad Rama is a phrase that has been adopted in literature. We talk about the differences between Ashkenazim and Sephardim, so very often you'll find, whether it's a Sephardi talking or an Ashkenazi talking, but they'll say that the Ashkenazim are the ones who are Yotzim b'yad Rama, even though it's a little confusing because we usually try to distinguish the Rama with an Aleph and the Rama with a Hey, but except for this usage, that the Ashkenazim are Yotzim b'yad Rama with an Aleph, as opposed to the Sephardim. But with all of those usages, what's this initial context? So that here the Mitzrim, they are able to strengthen themselves and come and to chase after the Jews. And the Jews are, they go with a high hand. So what does that mean with a high hand? So Rashi says, V'gvura gavoa b'fur semes, with high strength and well-known, publicized strength. And the Ramban writes that with song, and not acting like avadim, but acting like free people. And if you think about this in the context of this whole Aliyah, and even in the context of what's yet to come, so there's a little bit of a contradiction, it seems, because we're reading about the Jews being nervous and about there being anxiety and what has to be done in order to keep them on track, and now this Aliyah is ending with the idea of them going to be Ad Ramah. But perhaps that's the point, that despite all of that, despite all of the natural anxiety that's going to accompany this, so the Jews recognize that they have to do what they can to take on an attitude of kavura, an attitude of lifting themselves up, of seeing themselves as free people, of doing what it takes, whether it means these techniques of distraction, of focus, of a belief in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's promise, of a recognition of the power of destiny, of paralleling what Paro was able to do, and all the more so because it's not self-deception, but it is appropriate faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam and his mission. So to be able to take that and to instill that within themselves, so that's an inspiring mission. So that's a part of what Shabbat Shira is meant to do for us. And we should be able to take this message. And I know it's been a tough week, and there's been a lot of challenges, and all of the illness that has been going around. Hopefully we should all have a refuah shleima, and we should be able to strengthen ourselves. We should all be b'yad rama. We should be able to lift ourselves high, and we should be able to take chizuk from the inspiring messages of the parsha, from Shabbos Shira, and from all of the uplifting song, and allow that message to hold us up high. And God willing, I will see you on Sunday. Hopefully everyone should be healed, should be uplifted, should be elevated, should be inspired, and we should be all reflective of that message. So, fantastic Shabbos, and God willing, we'll see you soon. Jordan, are you feeling better?
Yesterday was like, now I'm kind of like...
Yeah.